Good morning, everybody, here and online. I usually watch online, so I understand that's like my little congregation there, too. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedules to be here and worshiping together. It's a privilege to share. And when Pastor Kevin asked me, I think it was the end of November, if I would like to share about the counseling ministry and celebrate recovery, I was a little excited in my spirit. I'm like, I'm used to one-on-one, though, so this is a bit different. And I do love coming alongside people in their journey of healing. I love seeing how Holy Spirit comes, ministers to each one. I marvel at how Holy Spirit is such a gentleman and knows exactly what each person needs. And the topic, Christ our Healer. And I didn't know we were going to have a I Met Jesus video today, so that was wonderful. And do you have a personal mission statement for your life? I attended a workshop once that was one of my colleagues was hosting, and one of the activities was to write a personal mission statement. And, you know, the people in the group, a lot of them were very succinct, one word or one sentence, which was great, but I couldn't do it. It's a little bit wordy, but I love it. As Jesus fills me with compassion, as I abide in him, walk in the Spirit, and see what he is saying and doing, I will minister to the hurting, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, and set them in heavenly places through counseling, teaching, coaching, training, and equipping so that they can walk in wholeness, freedom, and victory. You might recognize it's based on Isaiah 61:1, John 8:26 to 29 to 32 and 32. So it's fitting that Celebrate Recovery is in my portfolio. It was the elders who first put the board minutes for someone to start up this vital ministry here at Hinton Alliance Church. Lois Tunkey saw this, and she has a passion to see people emotionally healed, and she prayed and knew that this was what God wanted her to do. She's a hungry learner, lover of people, a prayer warrior, and volunteers hundreds of hours of her time. So I appreciate you, Lois, and love seeing your faithfulness, consistency, and how you work your recovery by applying the steps for yourself. So Lois asked me if I'd be willing to help, and I felt a witness in my spirit. I mentioned it to my husband, Daryl, and he was 100% supportive. So then I asked the boys, my two sons, and they were okay with this, knowing it would be a time commitment away from them. And this was even before I was on staff here at Hinton Alliance Church. And as Pastor mentioned, Doug Bennett, Bill Woolsey, they also came on board. We were all very green learners at first. That first workshop that we attended that Roland Rendell taught, oh my goodness, we've learned a lot since then. We as leaders first went through the 25-week study ourselves. We're all participants. And then we bravely started the large groups on Thursday nights, 7 till 9, and that was in November. Since then, we've had two ladies' groups, step studies, and currently we have a men's step study and another ladies' step study, which is led by Bonnie Marr and Nancy Sweet. Any names I mentioned today, they have given me permission to use their names. And so there's one coming up. There's another Life's Healing Choices that Lois and Charlotte Hay are going to be leading. And we have, you can talk to anybody that's manning the CR booth or just talk to one of us. If any of the ladies are wanting to, you can just check it out. The first session, you can check it out, see if it's a good fit for you. And that's Wednesdays, and it starts February 9th, 1 till 3. So you can see the growth with this, and so for me, Celebrate Recovery is truly a discipleship-making machine. So what is it? Some people, you might not know what that is. So Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered 12-step recovery program for anyone struggling with hurts, pain, or addiction of any kind. Some people think it's just for addictions. No. So if anybody that has a hurt or... So that's basically anybody who's alive, right? You're all welcome. It's a safe place to find community and freedom from the issues that are controlling our lives. So that could be anger, anxiety, codependency, food issues, addictions, grieving a loss even. So you may experience freedom from character defects as well. So that could be things like perfectionism. My husband laughed because when I was practicing, I noticed typos. So he's like, he just laughed. Perfectionism. I'm still on the road to recovery. Procrastination, inability to trust, being controlling, self-hatred, pride, jealousy, being overly apologetic, blaming others. So those are just some of the character defects you can get healing from. Every Thursday night's large group, so that's 7 to 9 here. And we have a time of fellowship at 6:30 in the foyer and also afterwards at 9 p.m. Large group is at 7. We have a time of worship, and then we go either over the 8 basic principles or the 12 steps, announcements, a short lesson, and then that would address the principles and steps. And then on the alternate Thursday, there's a testimony night. So at 8 p.m., we go to our gender-based small groups. The men usually meet in the prayer room, and us ladies, depends. Sometimes the orange room's way too cold, so we'll just stay here. Newcomers are welcome, and we welcome anybody from our community as well, so feel free to bring a friend. And we operate year-round because our addictions, our hurts, they don't take any breaks. So when one's ready to dive in deeper, that's when you can sign up for a 25-week step study. And that seemed really long at first, but it goes very quickly. And or the 8-week, the Life's Healing Choices. So our participants who completed the step studies were brave enough to share their 2-minute testimony as to what God's done for them during their 25-week and to bring healing. And we have 2 volunteers. So that want to share here today. The first one is Valerie Koss. She's a dear sister in Christ who loves to have get-togethers and suggested we have a barbecue. And it was such a big hit, we want it to be an annual event. So please welcome Valerie.
Thanks. Hi. My name is Valerie. Hi, Valerie. And I'm a great believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggled with depression and procrastination. At first, I was shy in Celebrate Recovery step study, going through in step study group because I didn't know what to make of it. Taking turns reading and sharing my answers from the book helped me to open, share, to trust, and to be honest. I liked the support, having my accountability person, my sponsor, and was even able to make coffee dates with other people. Others were telling me how I grew, changes that they saw in me even before I could see it myself. Then I started to see changes in my life from procrastination. I had a hard time to change the cat litter. Now I do it every second morning. Another victory over procrastination was doing dishes. There are some dishes I don't know how long they were there for, but one evening I put some nice hot soapy water in the sink, and it felt so good to get them done. After sharing this victory of the dishes in my group, the CR group started clapping. That was so cool. I have a hard time to get out of bed with depression, but CR has helped me every Monday to get out of bed and come and show up at 10:30 a.m. So I have to get out of bed at a certain time to get ready. It's been a bit of a victory over depression. I'd like to share my favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Our group will always have a bond, no matter what, because we got to know each other on a deeper level. I even made our group laugh. Everybody should go to Celebrate Recovery. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you want to be so brave. So brave. All right.
This one will be higher.
Yes, the next one. We have another volunteer. That's Nancy Sweet. She is one of our co-leaders of our ladies' step study that meets on Wednesday afternoons. We appreciate you, Nancy, and thank you for sharing.
Listening to Sunday school. Hi, my name is Nancy. And I am a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm learning how to overcome codependent habits and to choose better ways to express my anger. I first came to celebrate recovery because I was overwhelmed with reoccurring issues in my life. Due to my my people-pleasing habits and fear of rejection, I would stuff my hurts and my angry thoughts and let them fester in me until they built up and would explode, and my words would cause chaos. I would find myself in hopeless, angry, lonely days. By working through the 8 principles and the 12 steps, I have learned that I need to let go and give my deep hurts over to Papa God. When I wrote out my moral inventory, I realized there were a few instances where I had no part in bringing the hurt onto myself. I truly was the victim. But there were many times where God showed me that I had hurt family and others. But God is so good. And even as Holy Spirit showed me my part, He also showed me that my actions were forgivable. This was like a light bulb moment. My actions were wrong, but completely forgivable. But as a person, I am loved unconditionally. That helped me to view those who hurt me in the same way. Their actions were wrong, but forgivable. And with God's help, I was able to do that, and the pain was released. Now, I was able to leave it between them and God. This freed me from long-held anger, and it lifted huge loads of condemnation from me. God's changes in my way of thinking have helped me to slow down in my reaction, hear from Him, and stop assuming or imagining what others are thinking. I need to find out the truth first, and then with His help, deal with situations with God wisdom, breaking through my fear of rejection. But it takes time to break those lifelong habits. I am spending better quiet times with Papa God, and I'm realizing how grateful I am to Jesus for all He has done and is continuing to do in my life. I find that I'm becoming more aware of the struggles in other people. This has challenged me to become bolder in speaking about the power and the love and the healing that God wants to pour out on all of us. We have a dedicated step study group of 9 ladies this time around, and we have quickly got to hear each other's thoughts, and we've built up trust. We realize that what we share will not be judged, and that we are in safe and understanding company. We have many good laughs at each other, and with each other, and we share hurts and tears and frustrations as well, and God inspiration moments. I'm continuing my healing as a co-leader in our step study group, and I'm excited to see how Jesus has begun to heal and change us. When I was baptized as an adult new believer, and that's a God miracle story in itself, my pastor gave me a Bible verse which is becoming more meaningful to me. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within me, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Philippians 1 and 6. Thank you.
Powerful. I just love hearing the testimonies. Turn the page. So each one, like you can see, is so unique, and we're all at different places in our lives and for what we need healing of. And we don't celebrate our leaders enough. So they've had huge time commitments. They've been consistent, faithful. They have a love of people, love of the Lord. And we should just celebrate our leaders. Please pray for this ministry of Celebrate Recovery, for our participants, our leaders, and those who have come and those that are yet to come to attend. So next, I would like to read Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I declare this out loud almost daily. It reminds me that God is sovereign and in control. I also sing the song, and it goes on to say, this mountain shall be removed by my spirit, says the Lord. Then I speak to the mountain and name it and command it to be removed. Today, my desire is that as I speak, you would hear what Holy Spirit wants you to hear and anything else you won't retain. That I would speak what he wants me to speak today. So I was asked to speak about Christ our healer and how this relates to counseling and CR. We are body, soul, and spirit, and when our body is afflicted with dis-ease, we need a healing or a miracle. When we are healed, it is evident, just like Russ shared in his story. That ankle still healed. Woohoo! For me, when I was 12 years of age, I wanted a healing, and there was an evangelist from Calgary, Alberta, that would come up north to Falaire area. Brother Rolls, we'd call him. And he would host meetings, and at the end, he'd pray for the sick. Well, I went for it, 12 years old. I wanted healing. I struggled with asthma bronchitis since the age of 2, and I blew it. It was my eyes I wanted healing for. Sorry. I wanted my eyes healed, and he said that he instructed me to take my glasses off for the whole weekend. Well, they're pretty thick, and so I'm finding my way all over all the weekend, and then Sunday night comes, and I had to put my glasses on. I was so disappointed, but then it was three nights. Three nights later, my mom, she goes to my dad, did you notice that Nicole, she's not coughing anymore? He goes, oh, now that you mentioned it, yeah, she's not coughing. So in the morning, she mentioned it to me, and then I just had tears well up in my eyes and realized that I had been healed of asthma bronchitis. Those coughs that would feel like a burning in my chest, you could taste the blood, and those coughing spells would keep, my parents awake, but also me, and would stop me from playing outside too long in the winter. And so when she mentioned that, my tears would just fill up, and I was just so delighted. So after that, I excelled in track and field. I played trombone from grade 7 to 9. I could, no longer have to drink those awful home remedies or wear homemade poultices that my loving maternal grandparents made for me. I could play outside in the winter to my heart's content. My favorite was making snow tunnels, like in the big snow drifts in the yard. And that nothing stopped me. So that was, God has a sense of humor, I'm guessing, that he knew I needed that then. So I'm still believing, so you can still keep praying for me for my eyes to get healed. So for some people, they'll get an immediate miracle. They healed right away. And others, it happens over time. And I'm also believing for my son in his journey for healing. Many of you have been praying for him. He suffers from chronic pain, and so I thank you for praying and believing with us. Okay, so next, how about our spirit? When we get saved, born again, we call upon the Lord, make him Lord of our life, repenting of our sin, we receive Holy Spirit. Our spirit is no longer dead, but comes alive. Our spirit is healed 100%. So in the I Met Jesus videos, I shared my story there, so I'm not going to repeat it, but you can go back and watch all the ones you've missed. And just a big thank you to Joel for all his hours and expertise in putting those together. And like Pastor Kevin said, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center if you want to share your story. Another thing that happens to be our job is we might need deliverance and to evict any demonic spirits. And I have found it a lot easier once we get rid of the why they're allowed to be there in the first place. So that brings us to our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. This requires work, and for some reason, again, God gave us this job, and we call it the process of sanctification or transformation, or in Celebrate Recovery, it's our journey of recovery. It's a dying to self. I die daily. It is a death of the self-life. It involves the death of inner structures, habit patterns, judgments, expectancies, attitudes, and reflexes by taking them to the cross. A renewing of the mind, identifying the lies we believe, replacing them with truth. Pastor Ryan did a great message a few weeks ago on that. I'd encourage you to listen to that one. In Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to believe this, to know it positionally, that I reckon myself as dead. I am righteous because he made me righteous. It is the great exchange where he took all my sin, my shame, my guilt, my character defects, and gave me his righteousness, holiness, purity, all the good of who he is. I can walk in victory as I abide in him. Galatians 3:3 in the Passion Translation, your new life in the Anointed One began with the Holy Spirit giving you a new birth. Why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit to becoming slaves again to your flesh? Do you really think you can bring yourself to maturity in the Anointed One without the Holy Spirit? I would answer resounding no. Our flesh, A.B. Simpson writes, in the self-life and the Christ-life, cannot be cleansed, cannot be improved, cannot be cultivated, cannot be educated into ideas and principles. Our flesh must be exterminated. He goes on to say, every man who has not the Spirit of God is in the flesh. Therefore, anything outside the Spirit of God is flesh. Our flesh is the whole of human nature, the Adamic race, the natural man. The whole thing is corrupt and polluted. The flesh must be utterly dethroned, renounced, and crucified with Christ. Okay, that's not a very popular topic, but let's give God permission. Let's give him the right to slay our flesh, to make us dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. This is in the Passion Translation again. And there's a footnote there, and it says, where God speaks his word, then we in agreement also speak his word, and it becomes a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12. A form of our self-will as defined by A.B. Simpson in his article, The Death of Self, is the disposition to rule, and especially to rule ourselves, the spirit that brooks no other will and its own law in God. For example, if we have the attitude that I will serve God as long as it suits me, then my self-will is in rebellion, disobedience, and in separation from God. Or if I am thinking of my own success and my own glory, my self is not yet dead. Therefore, our first step, and this is also a principle of Celebrate Recovery, is unconditional surrender. We sang about that today. We need to establish the absolute sovereignty of the will of God in our heart and life. Our self-will needs to be crucified where our will is in line with God's. This is obedience. Remember Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 23, in the NIV it says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." I'm not going to go into all that story about Saul, but we want obedience. It's better to obey, better than sacrifice. So until I know that I know that I've been crucified, guess what keeps coming up? Our flesh. I surrender daily, often many times a day. I surrender my family, my marriage, my children, our health, my work, my ministry. I mean, who do I think I am? As if I can do a better job than God. I repent. I repent of the sin of idolatry and of arrogance. I run back to you, Lord. I worship you. I am in awe of who you are, creator of the universe, who cares about details, who is perfect love and is infinite, limitless. I run to you. You have the solution, the answers that I so desperately need. Forgive me for running to my ways of escaping reality by shopping, keeping busy, procrastinating, there's that word again, playing games on my phone, trying to control others or situations, etc. Where do you run to or not run to? I repent for burying my pain, for not trusting you to help me, for staying in denial. Help me, God. This is where I often do my SOS prayers. Anybody else do the help? So let us ask him, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Let's seek him, his face, and lean into him so we can see what he is doing and do what he's showing us to do. I am crucified with him, co-buried and co-resurrected. I surrender knowing that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7:18. I nail my flesh to the cross of Jesus Christ and reckon it dead. Let's deny ourselves and take up our cross, as in Matthew 16:24, and follow him, or as in Luke 9:23. Let us deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. So we are to rest in him, which involves daily death and rebirth. This is sanctification, where we become mature sons and daughters of God, which is only by Holy Spirit through the cross of Christ, and the end product is a new, clean person. John and Paula Sanford, in The Transformation of the Inner Man, they're the pioneers of inner healing, they define transformation as the process of death and rebirth, whereby what was our weakness becomes our strength. Sanctification overcomes the power of canceled sin, but transformation turns the mess into glory. Nothing in our lives is ever wasted. And one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 3:18, where I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. So let's fall in love with Jesus, focus on him, turn our eyes on him. It is the baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us that will deliver and keep us from the power of self. Pastor Kevin had talked about the kabod, the weight of the glory of God. Are we ready to experience his glory? So God heals our body when he comes to live in us. Our spirit is made alive to 100%. Our spirit is healed. Christ is our healer. Our flesh, our sin nature, must die. In that sense, our recovery journey looks like dying daily and being reborn. Christ is our sanctifier, our transformer. John and Paula Sanford write, "The call is to die, to accept ourselves as we are, rotten and unchanged, and then let him express his goodness and righteousness in us through his Holy Spirit." Galatians 5, 24 to 25 in the NIV. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In Galatians 6:14, in the Passion Translation, may my only boast be found in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm, and the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. Okay, so let me just share a little bit of my story of recovery. When I attended Trinity Western University, I was so excited. Growing up, we didn't have a Christian youth group, and I longed for fellowship with believers, people my age, but not just people my age, but people who were on fire for God and who wanted more, wanted to know him more, a deeper level. And at Trinity Western University, chapel's voluntary. And the first time I experienced chapel, there were probably about 300 students there sitting in those gym bleachers. And wow, to hear all those young adult voices worshiping God was definitely amazing. Sometimes we'd sing a cappella, and that was powerful. Songs like Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, or How Great Thou Art, or I Surrender All. Yet, I was so lonely. It took about 6 months to find Christian young people who truly were on fire for God, who wanted to know him more, who wanted to walk the talk, who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And once you found them, though, like, we're still friends to this day, 30-some years later. These friends desired a relationship with Jesus. We loved to worship together, to pray, to talk about him, to share what he was showing us in our quiet times. We loved the time spent in his presence where the atmosphere would shift and we could actually feel it. There is healing in relationship with others, in his presence, his love, unconditional, drawing us near. What does on fire for God also mean? Pruning. To show us where we have open doors to the enemy and we want to close those doors. From an early age, I knew I had to forgive others when they hurt me or offended me. I knew I needed to make amends and ask other people for their forgiveness when I hurt them, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally. It wasn't until I was about 28 years old when I learned about listening prayer or inner healing. And at that time, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was a three-part dream, and it was about abandonment. And I woke up just weeping and asked the Lord, is that me? It was me. So now what? So I went for counseling. And it was called an intensive because it was 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. And it was like a farmer or a gardener, you know, when you're rotor tilling the garden or the land, the junk kept coming up to the surface. And the counselor, she was from Edmonton, and I found out later she was actually my university chemistry teacher's sister, small world. And she had asked Holy Spirit, when was the first time Nicole felt abandoned? Now, back then, I didn't get much, like, a sense in the spirit realm. I'm from a science background. Yet, in my mind's eye, I saw myself as a little girl, 7 years old, in the porch of the old farmhouse, holding my dad's lunch kit. And that meant a lot to me. That picture meant abandonment to me. My other sisters never struggled with this. We all have our own personalities, our own hurts to deal with. For me, it meant saying goodbye to Dad. Dad worked oil field. He worked in Swan Hills during the week, and then at home in Guy, Alberta, on the farm on the weekends. And I would take the lunch kit from him when he'd come back, bring it to the kitchen. I'd take the lunch kit to him when he left, and that, to me, always felt like saying goodbye. So with the adult brain, like when I'm looking at that story, I just say, oh, he's just putting food on the table. He's being a good provider. He's a hard worker. But that little girl had no concept of time. She was hurt. And saying goodbye, felt abandoned. So I was able to forgive him for abandoning me, but I didn't do it to him, right? Because that was my perception of the hurt. So it was between me and God. So that was fine. But then the counselor, she's very smart, She knew that that wasn't the root. So she asked if we could ask Holy Spirit once again, when was the first time Nicole felt abandoned? Okay, this time I get a picture of an incubator, you know, the room of incubators. I'm behind the glass, and in the far right, it's a dark room. There I am in the incubator. Now I'm thinking I'm losing it. I did ask my mom later, was that true? Like, did I make that up? And she's like, no, that's exactly where you were. And we would go every day for 30 days to see this premature, 1.5 month premature baby behind that window. They weren't allowed to touch me. That would mean abandonment, right? And so the counselor asked if Jesus was there. That baby? Nope. There's no way Jesus was there. And she asked if it was okay to invite Jesus there. Yes, we did. And right away, I saw Jesus rubbing that baby's back. And I just started bawling because up to that point, when I would sense his presence, was a warmth going up on my back, up and down my back. And that I'm going, oh, he's still rubbing my back today. Well, once you see Jesus there, you can forgive anybody. So that I was able, from the age I am in the memory, I'm able to forgive the medical system. I forgive my parents for not touching me, whatever I needed to forgive, to renounce the lies, replace them with truth, to renounce the vows I had already made. My spirit's fully developed as a baby. I had already made the vow, I have to do it on my own, which doesn't work so good. So we renounce that. So thank you, Holy Spirit. I no longer struggled with issues of abandonment. She found the root by help of Holy Spirit. So I'm in awe of how loving God is in addressing my hurt and pain, and how he wants me healed even more than I do. And just as he has done for me, he will do for you. So now let's hear what a couple of other people want to share about their counseling experience here at Hinton Alliance. So I asked in an email, who would want to share their aha moment, something they got in counseling? So one brave person came forward and wishes to remain anonymous. This person states, and I quote, when I start getting bitter or upset about a memory, I can stop and ask God to be there in that memory and show me his view and healing on that memory instead of staying bitter in that moment, end of quote. I love this. This person is running to God and is hearing and seeing what God hears and sees. Do you see how transforming this is? Today feels kind of like show and tell. So do you remember show and tell growing up? You never know what to bring, right? Do I bring my favorite book? Do I bring a pet? Do I bring my, what treasure? I even think I brought my baby sister. So today, we'll keep doing our show and tell. I have one brave volunteer who answered my question, what aha moment in counseling that the Lord has revealed to you that you would like to share? So we're going to welcome Carrie Lynn. So she's a dear sister in the Lord whose passion for God is contagious. So before I start asking you questions, let's see. We'll get situated here. We're supposed to stay in the box. Here we are, in the box. Oh dear, didn't practice this part. Okay. Are we 6 feet apart? Okay. I have cue cards somewhere. Here we go. You know what? I can pray first. Let's do that. Okay. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We honor you. I pray for protection and plead the blood of Jesus round about Carrie Lynn and her husband and family, their home, property, vehicles, workplaces. I plead the blood of Jesus round about me and my family, home, property, vehicles, workplaces, school. We invite you, Holy Spirit, be our teacher, our guide today. We want to be taught by the Spirit of the Lord. Wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Open the doors we're to go through today. Close the doors we're not to go through. We ask for your peace, your shalom, to be knit to the pages of our soul. Help us to speak what you want us to speak today. In Jesus' name. So thanks, Carrie Lynn, for being so brave. I don't know if I want this or not. Okay. So we were originally going to do a mock counseling session, and then it ended up being an interview, so we'll just do an interview.
Yeah.
So, Carrie Lynn, what is one of your aha moments that you wanted to share today?
Okay, so I was thinking about this when I got your email, and I was laying in bed, and I was like, oh, God, please, Lord God, show me what you want. I was pretty excited about it, and I thought back to, I guess, with this pandemic, there's been a lot of hard things through this pandemic for a lot of people, but there was one blessing I can take, a big blessing out of my life, was that everything stopped for me. My job was shut down for 3 months, and in that time, that March, God brought the Soul Care book into my attention. And every day at home, I was working through that, and God led me to Nicole. And so once a week, I would walk down to the church with my backpack and Soul Care and Bible and notebook and all of that, and sit outside in the bleachers facing the mill and hang out with God before my sessions with you. Mm-hmm. And so one of the aha moments for me was I was in the week at home going through Soul Care, and I kept getting this word, facade. Mm-hmm. It kept coming, and I was asking the Lord, like, what does this mean? And I can't exactly remember what part of the Soul Care book I was in, but facade, constantly, in my sleep, during the day. And so then it was my time to see Nicole, and you just praying made me think of our counseling sessions and how wonderful that is. And I was telling you about this facade, and so we opened in prayer like you did, and we invite the Holy Spirit in. And all of a sudden, I saw this garden, and there was this massive tree in the middle of it, but it wasn't a nice tree at all. It took up the whole garden, and its roots were deep, and they were black, and it went throughout the garden. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit showed me that the fear that I had was a facade, and that tree evaporated. And that was his healing touch of saying, what the enemy did, however I opened that door for a little seed to be planted from things in my marriage, my childhood, abuse, all of that, that tree had grown and had festered into everything, but in this issue was with my marriage. It's how I perceived Brad, how I was scared of him, how I could never open up and tell him how I really felt, even in just innocent little day-to-day conversations, because I thought that he would reject me. Then it turned into anger, and it would shut Brad out. That tree, it's like there's this wall, and brick by brick, I am surrounding myself, I am self-protecting, and I'm believing those lies, and they're just growing. And in an instant, with the Holy Spirit invited in to that time, he was revealed as a liar and the father of lies, and that tree was gone.
That was awesome.
That was good.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, the facade. Yeah, after that, you were able to talk to Brad. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I went home, and when you've learned a behavior, you know, of self-protecting, or in my instance, just never opening up to Brad, I went home right after, and he asked me how my counseling session went, and I would never have told him before. Just too scared, or I just didn't even want to tell him, you know. And I opened up to him, and he just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And it started this dialogue with myself and him where, you know, every day, like you say, you're dying to yourself every day. I had to walk in truth every day. Mm-hmm. It's easy to self-protect. And there's moments where, you know, I wanted to say something to Brad, even simple, and this thought would come in like, don't say anything to him. And I was able just to talk to him, and his reaction was what I would never expect. It was always loving. It was always to laugh. It was just good. It was bringing healing, but I had to walk in that.
You sure did.
Yeah. Sure did.
I'm so proud of her. Oh.
Week by week, month by month.
So what does inner healing mean to you? How would you describe it?
Okay, that's a loaded question, but there's a couple different things. Inner healing to me means walking in truth. You know, like when I went to see you, Nicole, it was definitely stuff that had happened to me and lies, I believe, but man, it was my own junk, my sin, trying to hide. Another facade is putting up a mask that I was this Christian, which I am, but broken, and I would isolate myself with the thoughts that were in my head and the sin that I was in. So it was that courage to walk into that, to walk into truth, mm-hmm. and to trust someone else. The one scripture that I've always taken heart in, I think for years, is James 5:16. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much." I was fooling myself, thinking if I cleaned up myself enough, then I went to counseling, that it would be okay. That's a joke, and it's a lie from the enemy. You'll never clean yourself up enough on your own. It is only by the power of God. Mm-hmm. And in this verse where it says, confess your sins one to another, that's a scary reality. That was scarier for me. There was times I didn't want to tell you my stuff. But man, the truth on the other side and the freedom on the other side is all worth it. Mm. So walking through that, not doing this alone. So number one, needing God, needing each other. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in His Word. And it's a commandment to do. And I just want to walk in freedom, you know? Like, I want to walk in what God has for me and my marriage. You know, Brad and I, we were talking about this. We were the first to admit that our marriage has some stuff, okay? We have been through some stuff that we should have been divorced a million times. I was a barfly, he was the DJ. We have done stuff. But it's because of God and His grace and His mercy and the covenant that we have before Him. God doesn't let it go. And we have a journey, and I want all the glory given to Him. So all of this is about God. It's not about me, like you said. It's dying to self. It's not to self-protect. It is to let go and let Him. You know, I couldn't do it without this family, this church. Like Pastor said, the feedback about someone saying, your church is so friendly. They are friendly. They are real. It just shows Jesus. So that's what I want. That's what freedom is, and that's what I want to show to others. Woohoo.
I love that, your desire for freedom and how God has met you in it. And when you were so scared to talk to me, and yet you're like, oh, phew. No judgment.
I'll think of just like, you know, sometimes the counseling sessions, because this went on for close to a year. We would meet, and I still come to see you, not as often, but I'm not scared coming to see you anymore. But I remember one time, counseling session, and I was walking home. And God was so good, like, all the time. And I'd be walking home with my music on, and Brad would call me every time and say, how was your counseling? And I was able to share with him, even things that pertained to him. But this one time, I just, the abandonment, rejection. And I had a lot of that from my childhood, you know, blah, blah, blah. My mom never wanted a girl. I was abused to get used to the pain it would be to be a girl, everything else. And as I was walking home, it was like God showed me my mom's life, and there was a lot of witchcraft and just different stuff, and she was so abandoned, and He said, I ran after her so I could get to you.
Wow.
And I was like, you are a good God. But, you know, like, I know there's more reasons than that, but man, that's what I needed, you know? Chased down my mom from a non-Christian home that was satanic, out of 13 kids, to be like, I want you. And that's what He wants for each one of us. He just wants you. He just wants you to be real. He wants you to open up. If there's people that you will know that you can trust and you can splurge all your junk, all your sin, all your stuff, all the pain, all the hurt, now is the time. He's calling His church. He's calling His bride just to be real. You know, we all got stuff.
Amen. Okay, you're the one that put this on the plate here. So I know you wanted to thank some people who have come alongside you on your journey of recovery. So now's a good time.
All right. So number one, my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Because he is the king of the universe, but he is my Abba Father, and he is madly in love with me, even with all my stuff. Two, this church, our leadership, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Ryan, the elders, they are people that are just in love with Jesus and have that passion for him. You, Nicole. Thank you so much. Just safe place. I wish I could just tell everybody, go get counseling. It's just so good.
She just did.
Yeah, I just did, right there. And my Monday night group. Life, you got to have family. If you're not in a small group, get in one. That's where your real family is. A couple weeks ago, I was feeling pretty down, and I had some sin and junk in my life again. You know, it happens. And I just said to my group, I need prayer. And I just divulged everything. And they prayed over me, and God spoke words, and just saying, you know, like, I love you, my daughter. And so that's Linda Davey, Lois Tunkey, Gary Bolt, Doug Bennett, Russ Tate, Wayne Singbell. That's my little inner family here that they know everything about me, and they love me. And that just shows Jesus.
Mm. I like that. There's healing in the groups, eh? Like to know, to that have that place where you can share and be yourself. Wow. How are we doing? Good.
I'll just share a scripture. This is another one. This is Philippians chapter 2, partway through verse 12 and 13. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. And before I would have read that, you know, the fear and been like, ooh, it's like he's going to smite me down or something. And that fear is just a reverent, holy, in awe fear that the creator of the universe, again, is madly in love with you and will not leave you the way you are. And that is that process. And it's so good to be in the hands of the Almighty God.
Okay. What would you like to say to someone who finds talking about their issues to be shameful and counseling may be scary, a big leap? What would you say to them?
Okay. Well, I would just say, I know where you've been. For those that are online and those that are here in this room, we all have shame, we all have sin, we all have guilt, we have pain, we have things that hinder us, and to think that you are ever going to do it alone is a lie. We need God, and we need each other, and this is what the body of Christ is here for, is to bring freedom, to walk in wholeness. Yeah, there's that fear. But that's just how the enemy and ourselves want to stop to self-protect or to hinder us and where he has to take us. Mm-hmm. But there's such joy, there's such freedom on the other side. And to know that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And that whatever you're facing, whatever sin you're in, whatever junk you've got, you're never too far from him. And that is what he's called each one of us to be here for each other. So I would just ask that you would step forward. I know today after service, if people want to come up front and get prayer, and I know for years that freaked me out, because I'm like, if I go up front, someone's going to be like, oh, there's Carrie Lynn, she must have some issues. Who are you kidding? We all got issues. Mm-hmm. Like, we should all be running up here to the front.
Amen.
We all have stuff. I'm not going to be judging you. And if someone was, who cares? You don't want to stifle your freedom? Just get up here and open yourself wide up. It's okay. Tell me too, it's fine. But man, he knows and he loves you. You're not too far. He's just there. And there's such freedom. And you know, I haven't arrived. My marriage is still kind of in a mess, and I'm in a mess, and you know, my kids and all this kind of stuff. But man, he's faithful. Where I used to be, I should be dead. And I'm alive in Christ. You know, and he's faithful, and no matter where we go, I'm going with him. But we need each other. Number one, we need him. Mm-hmm. Surrender it all. Give it up. I don't care if you're non-Christian or Christian. You can't do this life without him. Mm-hmm. There is no option for you except him. Because he is a God who loves. Just loves. Just rest. Like you said, step into that rest. Just rest in him. Doesn't want you to perform. Just come as you are. Broken. Junk. Everything. She's here.
Okay, she's on a roll. So could you please just take a minute and pray? Pray for those here and those online.
All right.
Just go.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Abba, Father, we thank you so much, for you are glorious and you are holy and you are good. You are a good, good Father who loves your children. And Father, your desire is for us to walk in freedom, to walk in truth, to walk in peace and in joy forevermore. Thank you that we have this body, your body of Christ. Father, we need each other. And Lord God, you want us to be real. There's so many of us that have hurts, we have things, we have issues, we have sin, we have stuff, Lord God. And we're tired of playing church. We're tired of the facade. We're tired of just looking like we're a Christian, but wondering if we really are. Father, if that's people out there today online or in this room, that Father, you're doing a new thing. As I think in Isaiah 43:18-19, do not call to mind the former things or consider things of the past. Behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So, Father God, we ask you to come, soften the hearts, that people find Christian people around them, a family. Number one, to go to you and to surrender, and two, to go to others, to walk through that fear, have courage, your courage, Lord God, and to walk in newness of life, what you have for them. I just pray a blessing on all those that are watching online and here today, Lord God, that you stir within their hearts. I thank you for this church, Lord God, for this body. You are truly to be glorified, God, and honored in every way. Help us to look to you, Lord God, to live a life that is righteous and holy only by your power, only by you, and in freedom. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. She's brave. Powerful. So I would say you're dismissed. And those that want prayer, we have the prayer team here. So anybody that wants. First worship?
Yep.
First worship, then that.